Hello.
Hello there. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello there. Yeah, again, Daniel Lucho. I'm
Hey,
not
guys.
sure if Mandy or Dan or David will join today. Unfortunately, I won't be able to spend any time really on this. I've joined out of interest, but I'm not going to be able to do a lot at the moment.
Okay. Only bad news recently.
Let's say it's just changes.
Okay.
Opportunities.
Maybe
Challenges.
it's also maybe good for me to mention what is going on. I was not on this call for at least I think 2 times in a row. That's due to
Lucio,
the yeah.
I was just going to remind people the call's recorded just in case you want to
Yes, and that's
double
fine
click.
because yeah, this is just information for relevant for all others. Basically, we are going through some restructuring in the organization, and therefore it affects a little bit our contribution to Egeria on or it affects our capacity first on how we contribute, then still in a process of deciding how we are going to continue. So I don't have more concrete details, just I'm saying that's why I'm a bit less present on these calls. I hope that will change. And I hope it will be with the proper in a proper direction. I don't know right now, I don't have more concrete information, so I'll continue as it was before, at least for myself. I'll try to follow where we are and see what we can do next, basically. I know I had a kind of a assignment on my ends, never really managed to dive into it. So I would like to hear whether there is something you guys progressed on or some movement there. Otherwise, yeah, the plan on my side stays to try to actually bring that standalone server up soon. Just that from a capacity perspective, it was yeah, what I said. Because of what I said, I was not able to work on this.
Yeah, so what I did, so last week we talked briefly about some code I checked in and merged into the repository. So it builds, so the build infrastructure's there. And gosh, I'm trying to remember what the code did. So it built a new server chassis and it just added a module that was starting to experiment with different health endpoints. It didn't have any fancy logic in. And it just allowed you to return HTTP 200 and something different if the server wasn't started, which was helpful for Kubernetes when you could use the standard health check features rather than have to issue a command within the container. So it was it, the idea of what I was playing with at that time was just to figure out how would I build something to experiment with. That would allow me to do that, and that's what the code that checked in was. Obviously, there's more thought needed about what it means for a service to be ready for requests to be sent to it, and so we had a bit of a discussion about that as well.
I have a question, Nigel, in that regard. I've seen the change, the commit while working on the release, and that is building this slimmer version of server chassis jar, if I'm not mistaken, with this new classifier, right? Next to the existing one. Did I follow this through properly? Like
No, it's just I'm struggling to remember because my head's full of stuff that I have to learn. That's not Egeria. I made a change in base Egeria to facilitate this work. And I just can't remember what it is. So I'm just going back and looking in the commit history and then I can explain it to you.
Wasn't it
I'm
with it was to do with this
the default Spring build option called Plain or something.
Oh, yes, that's right. Thank you, David.
Plain, yes.
Yes, so what it was is when we pack the server chassis, when we create the server chassis artifact, we only put the Uber jar in. So this is the Spring Bootified jar, which includes Spring Boot plus our actual OMAG application plus all of its dependencies, so that we can just take that jar and run it. And that's how we normally run the server chassis. That's the big fat jar. Now, there is a build time option that lets you create the Slimline jar, which has got less in, but still goes through that Spring Boot process. So what I decided to do for this experiment was create a custom server chassis using a Gradle build. And one of the problems there was I wanted the OMAG application, but I wanted to do the Spring Boot stuff myself. I did it within the prototype repository. And I was getting problems with clashes and too much content being in there, basically. So what I wanted was just OMAG application, because I want the same application that we normally use. And we don't actually package that in any way. So to get it out, you can obviously take the full jar and start extracting it. But when we did, when we do some of our Uber jars, what we do is we put in both the simple jar as well as the jar with dependencies. But that wasn't the case for this Spring module. So the change I proposed for base Egeria was to also package the Slim jar within the same Maven artifact. And you can select that by an alternate classifier called Plain, which is actually the standard Spring Boot plugin behavior. It's just that I had explicitly taken efforts to remove it previously.
Okay. Just for me to understand, because I'm missing something here. Why we would like to keep running the same Spring Boot application called OMAG Server Platform?
For my experiment. This is not saying this is a long-term
I missed that in the context then.
Yeah, it was trying to think about how do I create a platform. By that, I mean the word platform generic. How do I create a thing that I can play about with to do some experiments?
And okay.
Where we're at the moment is we haven't got the launcher code for a single server in there. So I thought, well, I want to build a custom version of the platform. I want to add this jar. One way you can do that is you can take the existing jar and, of course, just put an extra one in its place. And I thought, oh, if we're starting to rebuild this and we're starting to look at changing what the chassis is, why don't I take the approach of going, let's use what I can from existing artifacts in the base, and then let's put the extra stuff I'm experimenting with in this new repository. So that was the thought process for this point in time for why I did what I did in there.
Okay. Thanks. I understand now.
Okay. And that's all. I haven't done anything on it since, though.
Would you think that there would be an option to use this Plain build as a starting point to, like, what we discussed, to create a standalone server and a specific standalone server, for instance, for only with an integration daemon and things like that?
Yeah, I wondered if it would be a useful exercise to go through to stimulate some ideas about that. I'm not saying literally what's there now is necessarily the right approach, but it was the principle of saying, let's use what is published by Egeria as our kind of base catalog of things that we can use and consume, and let's benefit from the relationships that are defined in the Gradle metadata, the dependencies, etc., and then create something custom for what I want to run within my repository as if I was a normal customer without having to recompile the base source code. So that was part of the thought process as well. But, you know, I think there's more discussion around what do you really want to do in that environment and how do you refer to these packages? And ultimately, you probably want a higher level of description. You might want a model. some of the things like the optional dependencies that we have as well. You know, I want to create an XTDB, I want to create an integration server that uses XTDB with Postgres at the back end, you know, because that brings in some other questions that are not reflected in dependencies that you need the configuration, but you also need the Postgres plugin for XTDB. You probably need a JDBC connector. I don't know that's the case. I'm guessing it is. I haven't set it up. But you'll need a number of pieces to put together. So it was just scratching on the surface of that concept of building externally. That's all. Tiny baby step.
And you also don't need the, for instance, the Genos graph if you use XTDB.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And in fact, the example I put in, I think, had just the core plus repository services. But for example, none of the OMASs or the graph repository.
Mm.
And I used the in memory, actually, I think, for that example.
And the one thing that Mandy said was that she didn't like the platform being in the REST URL because it's a bit confusing to she wants to differentiate between the sort of platform usage and the sort of server usage that we're envisaging.
So, yeah, I think there's two aspects there. That one, I think Mandy didn't understand the context in which I was trying to do things. I think she was happy once I explained it to her. You know, this is just a prototype, it's just an experiment. You know, and we've talked about the application launches very separate from the platform. So I think she was okay with that. But the key point I think she was making was about terminology. And, you know, we do have a bit of a clash in terminology. Whether it's words like server and platform or whatever. So we just need to be really careful in how things are explained and how artifacts are named. I think that was her primary concern at the end.
And in regards to terminology, this was a discussion issue, I guess, right? This particular...
Mostly in the call last week, actually.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah.
There was an issue, but that was the springboard into the discussion, really.
Okay. I think, again, from where I'm coming from in my kind of current state of mind, that's why I would like to, and again, sorry about not only talking about it and not really making a progress, really to separate this standalone thing we call, I think that is completely a new Spring Boot application and which will initialize with its own context. And then we should have the full control over if we're talking about REST context, then it's completely new and we will control that and definitely should not mention platform anywhere. And in regards to terminology, I think this should be the OMAX server application instead of OMAX server platform. So I think as simple as it can be. It's just OMAX server platform now, the Spring Boot class, I think we should call it OMAX server. That's it.
Yes, that's what I think I did, or standalone server or something. So I think that made sense when we were talking about a health check endpoint. I'm thinking, I can't remember, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't all the OMAS calls and the like, they all have platform in them? In the
No. There is this separation of base path, basically. You have slash open metadata, and then that is the root for all admin calls or... more platform calls that are not a capability REST endpoints. And then you have slash server, which is the base of all access services and everything that is a capability API. So it's really different on the base path. So everything that is platform related, I think it starts with slash open metadata.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably it has platform worlds depending on which API it is. Admin services or whatever it is. And then it has, when you call, for example, when you call access service, it starts with server, I think. Oh, I can check that quickly. Okay.
I couldn't remember. So presumably the host name and the port really defines exactly what the platform would have been. And in our case would be defining what the standalone server would be.
Yes, indeed. There is no platform mention, I think. But this is this open metadata starting context, which I think mostly then it refers to either admin services or platform services. But all of those calls have the assumption that you are really running this open metadata platform, which can do something beyond the server. And all of that, I think, is now out of scope for at least my, again, thinking process, because we should do that in a prescriptive way, as we discussed, right? All of that should be already ready. And then once the server starts, you only expose this on the /server to keep it really compatible with the OMAX server that runs on the platform. I would still keep that /server and then the rest. But the rest, I mean, /server side user or whatever it is. I'm trying to find one example now.
Yeah, makes sense. I'd forgotten exactly how it was, so it's good to clarify.
Yeah, I can see it. It's always open metadata, and then the services, and then users, and the user, yes. And then service, and the server. And then.
Can I share quickly? Because that just helps visually. I have this collection here.
I'll give you access. There you go. Should have access.
Thanks. So quickly, just where is it? My postman here. It's a bit messed up, but at least it will help us to to share a bit of this. So we have this platform services, for example, REST call to. Can you see my screen? Sorry, I didn't check.
Yes.
Cool. You see, for example, if you're addressing the platform to say see what servers are active, this is just a query call to the platform. Then it starts with open metadata /platform services. Similar to that, open metadata platform services to discover what is the status of a server. Then what are the services running, not the service, so services of a server. Running, it's still open metadata. So this is all the time the base path, even for the ones that are like a capability for the platform, that's admin services. So you can see here, this is still platform services. I should move this here. For example, this is admin services. So give me where this server is originating from, things like, or I'm trying to configure a capability again through admin services. All of that is open metadata. Now, if I go to, this is all to configure specific type of servers. That's how I have them grouped. Like if you're configuring capability for a repository, or if you're configuring capability for access services, that's still under this, for example. This is getting, sorry. Okay, too much. This is, where is it? I wanted to see, still on admin services. So if you're still configuring access services, you're still under this open metadata. But if you're using access service, like for example, to search, let's just call it an asset catalog, and it starts with servers. And you can see that pattern across all the access services. So this is data engine, for example, to create a file metadata. It's again, this is slightly differently mapped, but it's again /service. You can see in the variable here. Same goes to all. So point being, all the capability APIs on the REST are always with /servers, /server ID, which I think that our new standalone application should be always based on. Like
makes sense. This.
Yeah,
I'd forgotten, but it's, and I assume, just to check, I don't think that any OMAG platform would issue a platform or admin call to another OMAG platform in the exchanges at all. I'm pretty sure it's all.
What about the deploy? The deploy, it's not that useful in this environment, but there's, you know, when we do the configuration, we do the creation on.
That's a platform API, if I'm not mistaken, Nigel. We can quickly check.
Yeah, and then that would be called on another platform.
Yeah, but that's right. That's a responsibility of a platform deploying or exchanging configuration documents. So it's in the scope of the old.
Exactly. It's not relevant here. I'm just in the context specifically of David's question of whether one.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking of when you do the. It probably is okay. But I was thinking when you do an exchange, when a new cohort member joins,
yes,
will be the actual platform. There'll be actually It won't come from an application. It won't be an OMRS. It won't be an OMAS call. I think that's still an OMRS call.
It's OMRS call, and that one is capability again here. For example, so if I open this, this is a, you want, for example, a simple fine entity, it's slash servers, open metadata repository service.
The registration.
Registration the, is not going through HTTP. Registration is event based and it's going through a Kafka.
We get the so that, and then what comes back in the registration is the REST endpoint, which would be an OMRS REST endpoint,
which is this basically.
Which is one of those. Yeah. Okay. Yes. I'm just checking that I can't. I'm just checking there was nothing platformy and all that. I don't think there is. That was just the only.
Indeed. It's good to check. I think I'm. I made this quick analysis. This is the only thing I did, basically, to start thinking about the new implementation. So, I think I can definitely say it's quite nice separation, because the platform admin or the admin class, it's pretty much describing. You can see that platform services always. Oh, we can go in the code. Like if, maybe that's better. IntelliJ. IntelliJ. IntelliJ guy. So.
But don't you think that there is a hard coded path somewhere in the client libraries for the platform?
Sorry.
I think that in some of the view services, in the view services, when it's looking for the to populate recs and texts, I think it issues calls to the platform directly to get the types and stuff. Is that? I think that's that might be a platform, but or it might be a server call.
Once again, which one? Recs and text doing what?
So if you go to the view services, mm-hmm. then go to say recs, recs view,
recs view, area,
and then go to server source, mm-hmm. and then somewhere in there when it is in this, it's probably the handler actually. When it issues the calls to get the so if you look for I don't know REST or POST or GET wherever it, oh go to configure wherever it gets the so it's not there is it wherever it issues the REST call
The REST call, I believe, is issued in the not in the handler, but probably in the one of the.
Well, there location. We go. REST view services. Yep, you're right.
So
the question is: are those calls? And I'm thinking the one where it gets all the types, say, which it probably calls the text one actually. So it's probably actually in text. Load types, here we go. So if you go to load types, in the code on the right?
Mm-hmm. Load types, where
down,
is that?
A bit further down. So, so presumably in this get type explorer, you could work down the code to see where it actually issues the actual get to the, so get rec, okay. Where is it called? Somewhere in there.
Okay, I think this, this at least these two. So it really depends which one we are looking at. This is Rex, right? So Repository yeah. Explorer really has this capability of discovering OMAX servers based on a platform, right? The platform is starting point, and then it is sort of asks the platform, what do you support from a perspective? And it's the same call I showed you.
So it's not, yeah, it doesn't ask that because they're all hard coded, aren't they? Because we hard code the servers and the platforms. I'm just wondering when it gets the, what's it called? The
I think it's does not use the API call, David. If I remember correctly, this capability does not use the API call, but actually it's a configuration based. If you, I think that's the case. So the view service. will maybe I'm mistaken.
Yeah, I think it has to go there because the server might have different types. So it has to issue a call to get the types for the server.
Yeah, that's fine. But that get types is OMRS call.
So that should be okay, shouldn't it?
Yeah, that for sure is OMRS call. But I was talking about discovering first before it gets there, the server. And that is, I think, predefined. It's yes, not like right. going to the platform. Yeah,
that's right. I don't. So it was just if there was something around the I think I can't remember if it's an admin call or if it's an MRS call. That just it might be worth just checking.
I know for a different use case, it's a MRS call. So let's see. Going to repository services, then just local. It's basically implementing the same thing, but I want to go through what is this? Spring resource, and then it's get attribute type defs and get all types. This is the stuff that it's using, basically types and then attribute defs. So attributes for type.
So I guess the only weird one's going to be server author, because that's creating admin calls, isn't it? Which we don't want them to be able to do.
Server author is tied to a platform capability.
So server author is something that we wouldn't really want to be doing for the cloud native stuff. So you probably want to switch off those.
Exactly, because
you wouldn't be able to. It wouldn't make sense to run server author in that case.
Exactly, because then the responsibility of authoring servers, basically designing your landscape, is outside of Egeria. Then it is responsibility of more of either a Kubernetes operator or a physical admin that defines this, prescribes this environment or deployment artifacts.
Yes, that's good. We found something that's a consideration. We just need to make sure. But I guess the way I always did it in the prototype was basically switch off all admin calls. Mm-hmm. That are in, so that you don't expose any endpoints, any admin endpoints, but you still have the server side implementation, so you can call into the code and access the configuration for the various. So because you still want to be able to access the configuration, but you don't need to be able to expose it in endpoints or update it via REST calls. So as long as we just switch off the platform and switch off effectively through the Spring Boot when it's looking for the component scan, we don't look for those Spring endpoints, and we do include the new health point ones, then we should be okay.
Something like that. I was thinking my plan was to basically just go and create this new Spring Boot application, right? And do that in a best way we can do it to leverage at max the new maybe Spring Boot capabilities. So really a new Spring Boot application or Omax server, which will where is it? Omax operational resources, Omax server platform. So the replacement of this class will be a new repo Spring Boot application that will do almost the same thing in a better and controlled way. What this operational services? I think you already did part of it.
Yes,
right?
I think I did the bit and I switched off those. Yes. I'm pretty sure I removed those from the component scan as well. It might not be exactly right what I did because of there is some code around timing when things are starting, and I'm hoping that removing all that's fine, and we're relying on the health endpoint mm-hmm. to know when the thing's up or not. So that we shouldn't end up having to cope with timing conditions to do with temporary deleted servers and things like that, which there is code in that module doing that.
So
in the application that is the in the application that is that we've got the new version of, the actual top level one, there was a load of extra logic to do with temporary restarting and things like this, which I just removed. So I'm hoping that we can keep it removed, but if there is some sort of consideration there, then we'll need to maybe reinstate some of it.
So what I wanted to do is indeed really when I have this new, the new shell application or Spring Boot starter, really try to see only from a kind of a coding perspective, how can I instantiate from scratch, step-by-step components. If I need to write a new method instead of this activate, fine. So I really want to write a new startup sequence where all the subsystems step-by-step will be instantiated. And then we will have this server state in control fully to also maybe expose it to a health check to what level it is. Or we actually will be more in control of the startup sequence and then therefore have a better, implement a better health check, or those probes can provide more details as we instantiate the systems and we progress with the startup sequence. And I'm not sure if I'm going to
pretty much there, but it's you might need to tweak it with little bits, but it's
there were these things like maybe some of the existing classes are too entangled by what they're doing and assuming that the platform is there. So I want to see if I can radically rewrite that code. So really not depend on this activate code here, but write new activation sequence. That was my plan. And this is only on assuming that the class path is correct. And then I think what Nigel was talking about is to allow better control over the class path, basically packaging when you're building this to not have extra things, but only things that you need. And then this starter sequence, of course, we'll have to have everything when it uses, but then it will only execute the start subsystem if it was declared. And if it was not declared, means that most probably you don't want the classes available and you will not trigger that subsystem instance creation, and then wire everything together. So instead of, it's slightly, I'm not sure if I have everything I need in place, similar to what you did in that POC, I would like to write it outside of this. Basically not just look at what this is doing and try to do this, everything manually and just ignore everything that is platform specific. Basically skip that step or skip that configuration sequence, you know?
Yeah, there was no, effectively, the only bits, I think, was the writing back that save server config on 228. Mm-hmm. That line.
But if we write this code ourselves, then we don't have to rely on what this sequence is doing. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Basically, we'll not write the configuration. We don't need that. We have the configuration.
The other thing is what to do if you find that the server's already active. Next line. So this is all of that stuff. I wasn't sure. And then we've got
But this makes sense for a context of a platform. This, this doesn't make sense when you don't have the platform which can or cannot have exactly a previous state. You really start from a new state.
Yes. So it shouldn't ever be started because this is a new process that can't have previous
exactly
state.
Exactly. This doesn't make, so that's what I'm saying. All the things that are platform specific, I will call them like that, they don't make sense. Just skip. We will ignore and get to a point where we have this new world for us, which is only a notion of a server. That's it. Yeah. With that assumption, this is invalid.
One instance is got one server and not more. And if the server's dead, the instance is dead and we'll be restarted.
Yeah.
Once again,
we don't need to handle this stuff because there is always only one server, and this is started
exactly
at startup.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If it is dead, then it is then complete pod is restarted.
Exactly. Yeah. This is just state management on a platform level, basically recording or reporting the status of this instance, which is a Java class instance. It's not a JVM, but for us, it's just one instance, and then. Of course, we want to still keep some maybe state because of the probes. We will see, but indeed, it's one instance, and then that's how far it goes. We don't have to maintain more than that as a state.
Yeah, I think what I did is pretty much what you want. There might be slight tweaks to it, but it depends on how much you want to refactor.
I want to have full control of the startup sequence. That's maybe the only difference. I think it's exactly the same where you started. I think we agreed to go there. It's just I want a new class doing this. You know, because then we have a standalone application with its standalone control over the startup and instantiation of systems, not really. Because the other thing is, I think what you ended up with is, like, for example, not wanting to save the config, and that basically you try to I think you extended this class or just did something. But for me, it's a new startup sequence.
So you still need to set the operational configuration in the instance, because as it goes forward, there's parts of the configuration gets passed through to, say, the access services and the like, so that they know how to mm-hmm. they get the parameters. So I came to the conclusion that you still needed the concept of a configuration, but there's only one of them. What you could do, of course, is split. So here you see this if there, if all
which
of
one?
That, this the if on three, yeah, that one. So one way, one thing you could do is say, well, we could just split it out for server, for metadata access point or something,
yes.
And then just be and just collapse it down like that. But at the moment, we know that the logic is the same. Exactly how much you gain by splitting that out, I don't know. I know we were talking about having a model up for it. That they seem to be sort of, we could probably get it working first pretty much as is, and then work out what the next refinement is. So having a rudimentary health check and having the ability to start a single server on a platform, I think proving that that can work with nothing else, I think would get you 70-80% of the way there. And then the rest of it is going to be optimizing jar files. It's going to be getting rid of superfluous code. It's going to be maybe not exposing extra endpoints that you don't use and things like that on a per server type basis. But you've got 70-80% with those two things. Basically what Nigel did, a rudimentary version of that, and also the rudimentary version of the stand-up, I think the combination that gets you most of the way towards cloud native, and the rest is sort of is going to be optimization, because you'll have the function, but it will just be, it won't be as perfect as it would be if you obviously. So I would get for something working cheap and cheerful, and then sort of iterate on what you need to do to make it.
For me, this is just a matter of how do I call it? I know that this delays something concrete to have deliver something concrete as soon as possible, and that's probably what the intention of what you're saying is really.
And with safety as well, because it's existing code. As soon as you start changing,
for me, it's the little bit in my head, at least other way around, because then I will actually see what is extra for a cloud native application. So it's a little bit like you are trying to go from one point to somewhere, and I'm completely trying to go from a different point to that somewhere, because I really need to understand what is extra and just don't have it, basically. Shrink down everything to bare minimum. And it's also part of the really understanding how the interdependency between this subsystem is. It's more about really having that full control. And I understand, I mean, basically what you did is almost done, right? We just need to agree how we merge that that change. You figure out that it's a conflicting, either it's a new method or, I don't know, or extending and making this same method more parameterized, I don't know. But that's one option, but I was more for this radical thingy. I know it will delay the end date, but I think there is more value at the end, considering.
I don't think it's an either or. It's just what you want.
Let's work on both. I would say.
I would. I would personally deliver something that was cheap and cheerful, and then do the next, that's what I would suggest, and then do the next bit. But if you don't, if you want to go straight for the second part, that's fine as well. It just means you don't get something, you, because you'll learn a lot by actually trying it, I think, because have something working. That's just in terms of simple progression of changes. That's what I would suggest, but it doesn't have to be that. That's if you would really prefer to go straight for.
For me, you know, it's a bit maybe it's not kind of only pragmatic, but it's also really rethinking this. Like, I don't have to do anything with the platform. I'm writing my new application and trying to really not adjust to the previous design, but design it from scratch. It's more about that approach. Like,
okay. But you're going to be bound by all of the Egeria architectural decisions around configuration and startup of.
And still maybe reuse, because we know where the common point is. Actually, it has to interoperate.
Yes. So
that is for me, whether you start with the platform or not, we agreed, I think, as a principle there, we need to interoperate. So everything should work exactly the same, no matter how you start it.
Yeah.
The principle. And I wanted to just do it from scratch, basically start in a simple Spring Boot application that is going to have the same API REST endpoints, was going to be able to instantiate messaging connectors to, I don't know, register and all of that, which is in the sequence here, but do it step by step. And also for that learning thing and really thinking about, hey, now I'm writing a cloud native application. What can I do better? Maybe do I need to refactor some of those subsystems? Are they good enough? Things like that. But it's I agree that is something maybe more thorough or really bigger change. And I mean, what prevents us to merge a version of what you have already in a PR to be available so people can, I don't know, use that.
And the idea was they wanted to put it in the new repository.
But then we are replicating I thought that new repository comes with a new kind of little bit redesign of this notion that is a really server. And this one will still have platform and a lot of things here and there.
So there's only one.
It's just an experimental place, was my thought. I mean, how you want to use it, I guess, is up to you. But I thought it was more to support prototyping than really making any statement about what the final result will be. Because I think there's still a lot of things to work out, a lot of things to try independently. So that was the only reason I put it together, really.
So let's, we can continue. Like, is it now in the new repo? I didn't check that.
The only thing is in the new repo is the health check stuff I played with.
Uh-huh. So we may just merge that or push that PR as a.
It probably doesn't make sense to push it as is, because what it does, it sets up a new. And so it has a new application and it has a new, so you probably wouldn't want that in core Egeria until we're really sure. You could move all of the stuff over into the cloud native repo. And the only question is that one method that I added, can we somehow keep that in the repo, or is it easier and should we put it into the core repository? So they were the
Basically it's a one class that is overlapping. I think it's this operational services.
Yeah.
Question is,
do
we copy that in the new repo and then we have the new implementation for this? I'm not sure whether that is smartest thing to do, or we extend this class or something. So the new Spring Boot application will use that. What we can do, maybe we can have a temporary version of this class somewhere. I don't know. This is what I was trying to avoid, not have this intermediate thing, think about it, and then start thinking from scratch. But if you guys have a proposal how we can get this intermediate state into the new repo, let's do it. But I will start writing that new application.
Okay, I just need to answer the door a minute, and then I'll be back in a minute.
Of course, I have to leave early today.
Yeah. So, you guys, any preferences, Jürgen and Tyler?
Well, I was just thinking about it. I don't have any preferences, but what I was thinking about is you talked about the startup sequence. Do we have also to like consider having another shutdown sequence? Because when you're in a Kubernetes environment, it always happens that you get signals.
Yes. So the whole life cycle of the new application will be managed in that new application in a way we want.
Yeah.
In other words, so there is disactivate, and I think disactivate or I don't know how it's called, deactivate server or something.
Yeah.
So there is the sequence we should re-implement ourselves in a way how we would like to behave in a cloud or in a container orchestrated container.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so I have to leave now.
Okay, take care. Talk to you next week.
See you next week.
Bye. I guess the interesting thing is shutdown is going to be interesting, because ideally you'd want to do a, I don't know whether, I think we have a soft and a hard shutdown sort of concept. So if you had shutdown,
but
then you'd want to tell the cohort that you're going away and everything would be nice. But normally in Kubernetes, potentially what could happen is that you could just get chopped. So I don't know whether we could do anything nice to do in that chopping world to sort of somehow tell the rest of the cohort that we've gone.
I mean, we can assume that most of the time Kubernetes will chop this off. So the application should be able to revive after that.
So
I don't need do we need a clean shutdown on Kubernetes?
So there are two things with deactivating server. The regular one, which is starting stopping server, is this one, deactivate running server instance or service instance, I think it is, which means that this is the soft, I think, method, which deregisters does not deregister server of a cohort, which is basically it's temporarily unavailable, which means either for there are more I see here, but we need to dive a little bit. I don't know how these methods are mapped to the concepts, but I know the concept is that you can start and stop a server, which should not impact the configuration of others, which is temporarily disabling this capability, but everything works. And then the metadata exchange works in a way that it assumes that server will be back and nothing really changes. But then the permanent is really a new state, and it's deregister itself from a cohort, I think. So that's conceptually different. Basically, it removes the, I think there are events sent, the register events, and then it removes the registration, previous made registration, which can happen on a startup. And then the others are affected. Basically, there you change a state on the cohort. And then we will need to think, I think the regular one that Kubernetes controls, basically the lifecycle starting, stopping, is nothing to do with the cohort. It's basically its lifecycle of the instance. And one of these is that, exactly. But the other one, we should think about how we would like to happen. And it's, I think, outside of Kubernetes control. It's basically on a different level. It's more of a...
It's an operation.
It's an operation.
More like something the operator would manage.
But you can either think of you can do that from a platform, existing OMAC platform, because there is this, I think, if I'm not mistaken, but we can check, or you can just send an event to deregister, or it can be a server API call that you can, if you want, like the capability API calls. It can be a I don't know, deregister server permanently, which will not kill the instance, but it will deregister from a cohort. So it is just a on-demand.
You also got to remember it's separate as well, because you've got replicas, right, of these servers. And just because one replica goes away, it doesn't mean the others are going away. And the only way of understanding the difference between those two is with something that understands the current kind of topology as well as the user's intent.
Yeah, exactly. But that those are two separate things, right? So.
Oh yeah, exactly.
So your intent to deregister from a cohort is one thing, and then you should probably not forget that there are physical instances running, and you can maybe have some automation logic in an operator for this or not. Maybe it will be still a, in some operational guide, if you deregister, then also, change the deployment config to scale down the replicas. Things like that.
I was thinking that we wouldn't be issuing any admin calls to at all, apart from the health checkpoint. So I was thinking that...
No, I'm not saying that that's the way we should go. I'm just saying this can be completely outside of the API of that server.
So what I was thinking of is that we could chop, that Kubernetes will chop, in which case we don't go through any sort of nice saying we're going away, because we may not be going away, as you say. So maybe we just chop and chop. And if at some stage, if we have an operator that says we have zero, it wants zero servers, zero replicas, at that stage, you could maybe bring up a process that would, with the appropriate configuration, to deregister just for the purpose of deregistering. In that case, that would, with exactly the same configuration that we have in the cohort store and all that stuff. So that seems to be a sort of mitigate, more Kubernetes friendly way of doing it. I don't know what you think.
But you said, if I understood correctly, you said to bring up new process that will do the registration, right? Deregistration, right?
Yeah, some sort of helper process that would with
this, can be a new a helper class, which you can start in a container. Indeed, utility.
It's going to run a container, and it's these use cases where you get into actually what an operator does, because it understands the events that are occurring in the cluster, mm-hmm. and can then do things that are application specific to, you know, get you the behavior you want. And that's one example. By the way, in Kubernetes, normally, if it's a graceful shutdown, I think you have 15 seconds by default to, I think a sync 15 or something. And you do have a really short release period, which may help. It's always nice to do the best you can. You've always got to be able to cater with going down completely. And I do agree with that being different.
Yeah, we don't. The thing is, we don't know whether we want to deregister from the cohort.
No, but that's problem, that we should not know.
The point is on shutdown, there's other things. I agree with you for the cohort removal. But let's say, for example, you haven't committed the read offset. You know, there's things like that you might decide it makes sense to do if you can.
Yeah, makes sense. So the Kafka is a bit happier.
Well, to avoid responding to maybe a message twice or something. I don't know. There may be other examples.
No, but that's
but it's in always got to be an optimization, not a management.
So the graceful shutdown or signaled shutdown on a OMAX server, we can think of as an extra, I think it's in the scope of an extra application or utility, as well as the deregistration. Because if it's the kill pod, things like that, you will never get to this deactivation sequence or graceful shutdown, where you are also calling all the connectors to stop.
No, I mean, that's my point, that all you can do is a best efforts within the container itself. All you can do is the best efforts by registering a shutdown handler and responding quickly, but think, is there anything I could do? That is different then to other components that are monitoring, such as an operator, who may have the option to do more sophisticated and long-running things.
Can you still hear me? I think I heard some interruption.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah. So there are quite some aspects we need to map against what these extras. So for the scope of the server, we definitely, I think we all agree here, we are not going to provide APIs to manage the state in the cohort. That should be a concern outside of the application instance, which will only start up. And we can implement a shutdown, but that shutdown can be only on a signal of application JVM shutdown, which is the regular, killing the Spring Boot context and really trying to bring everything down. We can register that on that event, which is event from Spring Boot, I think, and we can do our best to really do everything we can for the application instance. That will not have to do with this more of a concept of stopping OMAX server or deregistering, which should be handled outside. Later on, maybe automated if we want to in operator, or just a separate utility for a manual interaction to manage the cohort. Basically, this is there is a need because the OMAX server platform did things with application instances, or not really on JVM level, but on this application level where it instantiated or destroyed classes. But then there was this all other more of a logical management of a cohort or cohort membership, things like that, which is still needs to be there. Just that now we don't have that API old platform to do it. And we should compensate maybe if you're going fully without the platform, how you're going to, I think it should be nice operational guidance on how that will be done with a new application. But I think the important thing is we're really scoping now what is important for the JVM and container lifecycle level, what is more of a Ejuria lifecycle, if you will, in a cohort.
Sounds good.
Okay. I also have to go soon.
Very quickly, just summarizing. I don't think I'm going to actually be doing any actions. What do you want to go through the actions or?
So in my agenda, I still I have a lot of unclarity as well. But at least if there is going to be time spent, I was planning to do this from scratch, Spring Boot application. I started looking into the PR, David, but I didn't really dive into a lot of details. I will give it another chance to see whether we can first merge that so we can have this. I will spend some time to understand that. If I don't figure it out in terms of how we can put it in the code base, then I will just continue with I can get back next week, for example, with a concrete decision.
If you want to talk about it, I'm happy to talk about the details.
Okay. I always say yes. The problem is I never find time, but I will definitely now it's less. So this all turbulence within the organization. We're not doing regular stuff. So in that in-between time while I'm waiting, I'm planning to spend time with this. So I'll ping you for sure if I decide to go that way, or let's just discuss it.
Yep, sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah, the oxygen masks have just dropped down. You're just waiting to descend to 10,000 feet and then you'll be okay.
Yeah. Are you on a flight, Nigel?
No, I'm just walking.
Okay. Shall we stop here?
Sounds good.
Yeah, sounds good. It was an interesting discussion. I just wish I could do more of it, but probably not.
Okay, till next week then. Take care, guys. Talk to you.
Okay, see you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.